Hello, how are you doing? And welcome to everyone that's joined the podcast and listening. Thank you for coming on, Emily.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
I'm really nervous. Oh my God, everyone knows anyway, so I'd rather just be honest about it.
It's okay, it's
So,
understandable. That makes sense.
the first two questions I'm
Yeah.
going to ask, obviously, you're my first guest. So, for anyone else that I get on this podcast now, I'm going to ask the same two questions just to get to know them a little bit and see what they'd say, really. So, the first one is, if you went to sleep one night and woke up as an animal, what would it be and why?
Oh, wow, that's such a good question. Josh, can I just say as well that, I ask that question to young, like, children and young people in my job too.
Yeah,
It's a really good one. Sorry, go on.
it's just a really good judge of character, I think, even for young people. Because I remember getting asked that so many times when I was younger.
Did
And
you?
yeah, when I said about doing a podcast, I always wanted to do that sort of question when I started it, because I think it's a good conversation starter as well. So.
100%. It tells you so much about the person, doesn't it?
100%, yeah.
Okay, I'm thinking about it. Can I answer now or shall I wait?
Yeah, of course. You can answer whenever you want, even if you want to do it at the end of the show and add time to think about it. That's all good as well.
I think I've got an answer.
Okay.
I don't know why this is like, you know how things just come to you. I think the first animal that kind of came to me was like a lioness.
Okay.
I don't know, there's something about them that like seems they're kind of like sort of strong and but also nurturing at the same time. Like they have those two sides to them. You know, like they protect their like lion cubs and also have that kind of inner strength, but then like kind of caring at the same time. I don't know, because that's kind of what, I'd love to be myself, I suppose. And obviously they're very safe because they're like at the top of the animal pack or animal hierarchy, so they're very safe. They don't have to worry about predators. I think that's
Yeah,
also
100%.
another one. I think that's my answer. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's really good. That's a really good one. Powerful as well. Powerful animals. And also, I'm gonna move on quickly to the other one as well.
Go for it. What's the next one? I'm excited to hear the next one.
Kind of ties into it all. If you could change anything about the world, what would it be and why?
This question has just like really got me. I've been thinking about this for so long.
Listen, I've thrown it on you, and to be honest, I know I should have said, but in the same thing, this is the authentic podcast, and I wonder, obviously, you're the first one, so I should have told you, think
No,
about it.
you did. You did. You told me about
But,
that. You told me, and I've been thinking about it. Don't worry about that. This is how it goes on a podcast, And like the thing that's so great about your style of interviewing already is that there is this authenticity and there is this kind of natural quality. So yeah, let's go for it. Let's jump in.
Okay.
100%. I was thinking about all the things, like a part of my job. So obviously, I'm going to talk about my job in a bit. But I'd love sort of if I could change the world, I'd love there to be sort of like no more exclusions in school. Like that's something. I'd love everyone to have like loads of things, safe housing. I'd like want no one to treat children badly and kind of all those things. So there's loads of things. But then I was thinking, okay, so if I could really change the world in like a click of my fingers, that's the kind of question I was thinking that maybe you were asking. I think what I would do is just kind of, especially in our country, obviously around the world, but I would like just have no poverty anymore. Sounds like a really kind of, I don't know, like textbook answer or obvious answer or something, but I think that like it can, I just think it's really unfair. I truly believe in people's right to follow their dreams in terms of, you know, starting their own businesses and growing their wealth and all those things. I really believe that, you know, everybody deserves that opportunity and chance to do that. Like, I really believe in that. But I just feel like if we could distribute some of that wealth a little bit more fairly, then a lot of the problems that people have in society would go, you know, be better. And I think poverty, being poor, is incredibly stressful, and really impacts people's lives in a really negative way. So that was my main thing, I think. If I could kind of click my fingers and change, then that would be it. But do you have an answer, or you're not, is it, you know?
Honestly, mine would be the same answer, because I've always thought the same as well. Like, for me, it's more so for the soldiers that go out to war, to war, and they come back and they've got nothing to come back to. So most of them really end up on the street, like, got nothing to come back to, because they've come back from there, come back from war, got PTSD probably. It's sad, really, and that is. That is the first thing I would change, to be honest, but we're a long way off of that, I think. And it's just nice to hear that people have got the same ideas, you know? That's why I want to ask these sort of questions as well.
Yeah, I can't wait to keep listening to your podcast and, like, listen to all the other guests you're going to have on and see what they say.
I'm really excited. I really am. It's going to be so good. So, what is your job, and tell me a bit about your job and what you do.
If
you don't mind, obviously.
Yeah, so shall I introduce myself, my name and everything? No, that's fine. My name's Dr. Emily Barrett, and I'm a child education and community psychologist. So what is my job? What do I do? So I'm a specialist in child development and learning. But kind of all different aspects of a child's and young person's development. So, and a young adult. So it's physical development, kind of cognitive development. So cognitive being your thinking skills. Social development, emotional development, and obviously all those things and your priorities like change throughout your life. So, you know, if I was working with younger children, I'd look at sort of your kind of counting and reading and play and all that kind of thing. If I was working with teenagers, I'd be looking more at like exams and independence. And like for young adults, kind of priorities change then as well. You know, it's more around jobs, it's more around life goals, it might be more around romantic relationships. So, you know, throughout your life, your priorities change and your development is changing, and you need different things. So what do I do? I work with teachers, I work with parents and carers, and obviously also work directly with children, young people and young adults. What I do is, if so there's lots and lots of young people, children that have kind of specific disabilities or like difficulties in different aspects of their life, but they are kind of okay, and they're kind of getting on and meeting all their goals and feeling fine about it. But there are some children, young people that they may get a bit stuck. They might not be progressing in their learning at school. They might be struggling a little bit, having some difficulties, and that's where I kind of come in. So the adults around them, or if they're a young adult themselves, might ask for my support.
Okay, so you help. I'm getting stuck here because
That's okay.
So, you help them along the way pretty much and grow as a person with, and let them, help them understand the disability or complex need that they've got and kind of help them understand it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I do that. So it kind of depends on the age of the person. So with children, I'm more helping the adults around them understand them so the adults can help them.
Yeah.
And sometimes children are struggling with their learning and nobody really knows why. So I go in and I do kind of some assessments, or I talk to people, I do some consultation, and I sort of try and unlock that mystery, you know, why are they struggling so much with their learning? How come they're not making that progress? And so I go in and ask the questions and do the assessments and then present back to the adults around the child or young the child. And then as you get older, you know, I wouldn't necessarily ask the adults around them, but I'd ask the young person or young adult directly. I'd say, how are you doing? You know, what's going on with you? What do you want? What do you need? And they can use their voice to advocate for themselves about what they need. And then I'll give advice to support them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because I've realised it a lot growing up. Like, obviously, I didn't go to a special needs school. I didn't go. I started off at one. But
yeah. Oh, did you?
Yeah, I started off at one. I see a educational psychologist when I was 3, and I went to a nursery called Trinity, a school called Trinity, but they had a nursery in there. And I went to that, and obviously I was there for a bit, and then I'm out of there, and then I see another educational psychologist when I was 5. And obviously, growing up as well, you see people are stuck, and you can tell that the frustration's there, and they're blocking them, and they don't know what it is, and for people like you to help them is amazing, because you understand, you don't understand straight away, you put work in to get it, and that's what I respect so much. I honestly, because it must take such. Do you work with people for a while then, or?
I try and work for people for as long as it sort of, as long as it needs. Depending on what kind of educational psychologist or child psychologist you are, you're kind of like, I suppose, like commissioned by different people. So depending on how long it takes to sort of uncover those answers and uncover those, uncover the mystery, I suppose, and unlock and kind of solve, you know, solve whatever's going on, it really depends. So sometimes I can go into a school or a family home and kind of sit down and have one like long conversation, like one consultation, and that can be enough to sort of help people move forward and make that progress and understand a bit better. But sometimes there are still more questions afterwards, you know, still more questions after the consultation, and I can go in maybe once, twice, 3 times and try and really, really get to know that, the uniqueness of that person and that situation, because obviously you know, we can't just be applying like big blanket generic solutions, you know, because everybody's different. So does that make sense?
Yeah it does, yeah. So you get to see the I'm trying to think of the right word as well, and the thing is, with this podcast, it helps me in gaining confidence as well and stuff like that. So I'm just, I know what I'm, basically, do you get to see the development side as well then? Like, when you've helped someone, then is it like that, or is it, that's a bit of
That's a good question, because I think sometimes it's a really important question. Like, you've nailed it, because I think there is sometimes a misunderstanding a little bit about my job, because my job isn't to be the person. I'm not the person that quote unquote fixes the problem. I'm the person that helps other people know how to fix the problem or the situation or the difficulty. Not to say that there's something to be fixed necessarily, that's not what I mean. It's more around I go in and help the scenario become a little bit more unstuck. If somebody's a bit stuck, and I help them to I hopefully empower the adults around the child or the young person or young adult themselves to then help themselves instead. Does that make sense? So it's a really, really important question. And if I'm in the same school for a long time, which I have been before, I can see that progress. So I'm kind of around and about, and I kind of can jump into the classroom and just check in and say, how's it going, you know? But in terms of official work, I go in at one stage, I do a bit of work with the family, young person, the teachers around that person, and then I kind of move on to the next situation, if that makes sense. So it's more about empowering other people to help themselves, which I think is a really important part of my job.
Okay. This is part of learning as well. It's really interesting.
Oh, please.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
You learn a lot when you listen to stuff like this.
It's such a great platform.
Yeah, 100%. It's so easy for people to get on and say what they need to say and spread the word.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to say one more thing as well that you touched on around like frustration. So, you know, I'm an educational psychologist, so people sometimes think, oh, you just must be talking about like exams and like maths and English and, you know, just that side of things. But massive part of my job as well is to look at people's like social development, so their relationships with their friends, their relationships with like their parents and their siblings. And also, as you get older, it's really important to open up conversations around romantic relationships as well, and to give people the support they need to get what they want in that regard. Like, really, really important. And then I also do a lot of work around like emotional development. So how do you stay resilient in difficult situations? How can you cope with really, really strong emotions that you might feel around potentially your life goals and what you really want and how to get there? So I do not only the learning side, but also the social emotional side as well, if that makes sense.
Okay, that sounds really interesting, because a lot of people could learn a lot from this podcast. So I've got to get it right to make sure I get...
Yeah. You're doing amazing. I'm really enjoying it so far.
I'm trying. Like I said, the more I do it, the better I get.
Yeah.
So what inspired you to do that? What made you want to do it? Or did you just always, from a young age when you knew what you wanted to do, was that always what you wanted to do? Or what inspired you to do it?
So, Sorry,
go on.
Yeah, you know, when I was like five, you know, when I was 5 years old, I would like, my poor sister, I've got a younger sister, we would like play teachers together, you know, so I'd sit here in my classroom and I'd like pretend to be a teacher. So I feel like when you ask me if I've always wanted to do this kind of thing, I think I have always wanted to be in education. So when I was a teacher, you know, in terms of what inspired me, I think what really inspired me was just the children. So I was a primary school teacher, and I was just always really drawn to the children in the class that sort of weren't, you know, they saw what everyone else was doing and was like, you know what, I think I'm going to do something different. I was really drawn to those children that just, especially the children that were just so wanted to please the teacher, so wanted to do well, so wanted to engage in the learning, but for some reason just was really, were really struggling to. And I was just really drawn to those children, and I really became very invested in wanting to do the right thing for them. And I found that, I found my way with them, I suppose. I found that I could do stuff to help. And I just became really interested in what that might look like if I was like going around helping lots and lots of different children that had those kind of educational needs. Just those ones, again, I say, like, especially the ones that you could just tell really, really, really what all children want. All children want to learn. Like, all children, young people want to learn. All young children, young people want to make progress and meet their life goals. But how do you unlock that? And how do you remove some of those barriers that they might have? That's, I think that's what really inspired me to want to do this job.
Yeah, 100%. And you can help so much because it don't matter. It don't matter how young you are. I think them type of things stick with you for your whole life.
Go on, yeah.
They mold you as a person. Definitely. For me, like my teachers and that helped me in the educational psychology, distance, speech therapy, even that really helped.
Do you remember? Do you remember, like, do you mind if I ask you something?
Yeah, of course you can ask me whatever.
Do you remember a certain teacher that really helped you? I'm really interested in you, if you remember a certain teacher that really helped you and why they helped you. Like, what was it about them?
I remember three. So I had a support assistant. So for anyone that don't, three support assistants actually my whole school life. So for anyone that don't know what that is, someone that's mainly for you. You can tell me if I'm wrong, Emily.
No, you're right.
I probably will be in parts of this, but it's for someone that's key to you, that helps you in the classroom or even around the school, in classes in secondary school. They're there for you to help you. And honestly, in some situations in school, if I was on my own, obviously I wasn't on my own because I had other children in there and I had a teacher, but if I was in there on my own without the support assistant, I'd be lost because I'd be needing help every 5 minutes, and it's hard for the teacher, like you said just now, Emily, to give all their time to them people that need that little bit of extra help. So for the support assistants, I think they play a massive part, and honestly I'm so grateful. I still talk to two ladies that helped me in school to this day.
Incredible, really. That's so amazing.
I really do. I'm so grateful to them for it, because I would have been lost in school. Especially in secondary school, because I'm not going to lie, like, I've spoke about it in this podcast before, but in secondary school, growing up, you obviously had a lot of kids that were grown and big, year 11, year 10, year 9, whatever, and they just stood over you, and it was nerve-wracking, especially for someone with a disability going in there. If I was without my TA, she just broke things down for me in the classroom. Like, if I was lost and I didn't understand it, or I got frustrated. She'd even take me out of the classroom if I needed it and into another room and explained it to me in a better way. I know she's not a teacher, but she knew me as a person. That's a good thing about a TA. They get to know you as a person and they know the way it's going to work and help. A teacher can't exactly just break it down for one or two people in a certain way in the classroom if the others ain't going to get it. In everything, in every aspect, really. And honestly, there's no amount of gratitude, or if that's the right word I'm using, I think it is, but I've got so much, I'm so thankful for both of them, that these two people I'm thinking of right now, you said about resilience before, they've shown me that, they taught, obviously my family as well, but in school for me it's totally different. It's so easy to come off track and then focus on another thing. For me, I used to get thrown off and start making jokes in the classroom, trying to be the class joker because I was getting frustrated and they used to be like, oh no, no, focus, you've got this, Josh, you can do it. Like, take your time, there's no rush. And I used, even in tests, I used to have my TA in secondary school and primary, actually, used to scribe for me. And without that even, I don't think I would have got through the test, so...
Which is really, it's a really important, like, there's so many things you're saying that's just like making me just reflect and make me realize how important it is to get to know people as individuals.
Yeah.
Because you were saying like the reason that your TAs were so important to you and they did such a good job is because they knew you.
Yeah.
And they knew, you know, if he's trying to like get a reaction or like make their his friends laugh and all that stuff, like maybe it's not because he's trying to get in trouble, it's because you're feeling frustrated and there's always that feeling behind the behavior. And instead of like you getting in trouble or whatever, it's like, no, Josh, like just you concentrate, you can do this, let me support you. And it just shows to me again like just how important these people are. Like, I'm also noticing your gratitude and you're so thankful, and I think of course we should all be really grateful for everything we're getting, but yeah. I also think that, you know, how do I put this, like that is what you deserve. Like every single person, and you know we all believe this and you know this and we know this, but every single person deserves to meet their life goals,
yeah,
and get what they need to do that.
And, like,
yeah, go on.
You might not know how to begin with,
100%,
but you will find a way. That when you're looking for a way around it, I think grow as a person as well.
Yeah, yes, of course, because you're developing your resilience and developing your identity.
Like, I still see these two ladies every now and then as well. Like, we meet up and we speak about old times as well. And I'm not going to lie, like, when I just left school and being an adult, I still do it now. I kick myself about school saying, oh, I should have tried harder, or... I wish I weren't as naughty as I was in school, because
okay.
I was a little, obviously, the frustration and that. They knew instantly, not so much in primary school, because I was very quiet.
Oh, really? Well, you changed a little bit as you got older.
Yeah, yeah. Because when I got into secondary school, I knew people in year 10 and year 11. So I was a bit like, my head was like, no one can touch me type thing, you know, because if I got bullied, and that is the truth, isn't it? But I was angry. Like, I went through a stage of being angry because I look at all these people, they can do stuff that I can't do, but I think I would have been like that in special needs school as well, because so I was in the middle, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah, you're in the middle. That's such an that's such a unique position, I suppose, or maybe not so unique.
Yeah, because you're stuck. It's like you're part of. I don't know how to explain it. I'm trying to think of the right words, but
yeah, take your time.
You're part of that. Don't take it the wrong way if I do say it wrong, please, because I don't...
Of course not. Oh, my goodness. It's just listening. Please, keep going.
It's like you're part of that community, but then you're not really. So that's probably why people with disabilities and stuff, they grow up with so much confusion and anger. I know I did. I had a chip on my shoulder. I'm not going to lie about it. I'd rather be honest and help people and turn around and say, look, it's going to be okay. Don't worry, like, don't last forever.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find out who you are and what you're meant to be doing. Like, don't worry about it. And, sorry.
No, that's fine. Don't worry.
I do help people. Every day, I know I do, because they message me and stuff, so...
Yeah. You move past this feeling of confusion and stuckness.
Yeah. That's the thing, like, you've got to... Once you learn that, for me, whatever situation you're in, when you get past that about yourself, if you can help other people so they can get through it easier... Mm-hmm. That's a win. I take that as a win all day long. But
absolutely.
Yeah, my TAs, one of them used to work with, you know, Bruno the boxer.
Yeah.
Yeah, she used to work with him before.
Hey, really?
Yeah. So when he was in a mental health hospital, she used to be the nurse.
And she
used to tell me stories about that, and some of the stories she'd tell me, even just listening to people when they're talking to you, you can learn so much from that, and I think that's helped as well. Whereas people are so focused on what's wrong now. I was back then, instead of, like, just being present and listening to what people say to help you through this, it does make it easier if you want it to. That's the whole point I'm getting at.
I mean, the thing is what you're saying is, like, I mean, this is what I've always thought and thinking more and more throughout my career, is that people know what they want. People know what they need, and... a massive part of the job is to stay present and listen to them.
Yeah.
And it's not always easy. You know, it sounds crazy, but it's not always easy to listen to people and take them at their word. But if you trust that people really do know what they want and what they need.
Yeah.
In education and, you know, that's almost the first step, isn't it?
In terms of people telling you what may help you as well. Like, I'm still trying to... That's the thing. I'm trying to stick to the TA thing as well. So sorry if I'm coming off that as well. But
no, can I just jump in, Josh? I'm so pleased you've mentioned TAs, because it's so important to hear your perspective on it, because in our work, there's a lot of kind of conversations around how important or not important or helpful or not helpful it is for children and young people to have a TA, to have that person next to them. So it, to get your perspective on it, please keep talking about it. It's really interesting and will be interesting to other educational psychologists that will definitely want to listen to this. So please keep going on about going on and talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I will. Honestly, when I tell you, without them, I would have been lost. I'm not joking, because I'll tell you a story that I've told no one before, so everyone else is going to hear it on this podcast. But whenever my TA in secondary school was not in, they'd put people with me every now and then. But when I had a day where I was on my own, I'd do stuff that I wouldn't normally do, like bunk out in the backfield, not go to class, and just chill in the hallways. That's not what I'm supposed to be doing, I know, but...
But that's not you, is it? Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I just needed a little bit of a push, you know? Like, I needed someone to be there.
Yeah, you needed someone to be there.
Other people are going to need this as well. So when Miss Beattie weren't around, that was her name, I used to do that all the time. And when she'd come in, she'd be like, what did you learn in this lesson today? Because some lessons I did go in on my own. Because I felt comfortable to do so. Because I thought that other teachers understood more and then help me a bit more. It's not that I didn't understand, it was for me the copying off the board and stuff like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's exactly what so you know, I was speaking before about that kind of like idea that like a child or young person has a specific barrier to learning.
Yeah.
And if we could, you know, work together and remove that one barrier, you know, that's when they really thrive. That's when they really progress, make progress. So for you, that you, we could take away the fact that you need to write off the board, and then you could really show, you know, really show and show your potential.
Yeah.
Just by removing that one barrier. And it's so simple. Like, you just, okay, Josh, you don't have to write off the board anymore. You know, it's kind of like, it's sort of complicated and simple at the same time. And just, that's the thing. If we remove that barrier, that's the thing that can really make the difference. So that's kind of part of my job as well. That sort of, what is the key thing that we can change and remove to make sure this child or young person is making progress and thriving.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the thing, going back to that about copying off the board and stuff, people learn in different ways, so...
Exactly.
For me, I'm still at the point where I don't completely understand it yet, but I'm learning. So, there's sometimes where I'm better at listening to someone and I take it in better that way, or there's times where I read stuff and I take it in better, if that makes sense. So
yeah,
it's not always one way. There's two different ways for me, whereas someone else, there might just be one and then that's it. But people, teachers, I've seen it myself, like, I'm not shy to say it either. Teachers, they're just so easy to give up on someone that's brackets naughty and just throw them out, instead of trying to understand why they're being like that. There's always a reason,
and that's always a reason.
That's what my TA always used to say to me, was you're not angry because you're a naughty kid, you're angry because there's a reason behind it.
Yeah.
You can't do what other people can do. They make it look so easy. and you're trying to do it,
mm-hmm.
and you can't, it's out of your hands. Like, you're not angry because you want to be. You're angry because it's frustrating.
Yeah, and she's validating your emotions and validating your experience.
It makes you feel a lot better about it. Like, I had 2 teachers in my whole school. I don't like saying hated me, but...
Oh, no, Rick. Oh.
That's how I felt.
Yeah, that's how you experienced it, yeah.
Yeah. One was a PE teacher, and one was a... my head of year, actually. And my mum would tell you, because I'm going to get my mum on this podcast as well one day. We went in for Emily knows my mum, everyone, by the way.
Your mum's great.
We had a parents' evening one night, and I've spoke about this again. I'm probably sounding like a broken record.
No, go on.
Going in, you had to wear uniform to go into parents' evening, and my mum didn't put me in it just for the sake of half hour, because she'd take me out of it after school, help me get out of it, and then half six would come, and then we got to leave, put the uniform back on, go to school, come back, take it off, you know, it was just inconvenient and hard for my mum.
It's hard, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember coming in one day, and my head of year turned to my mum, even though I was there right in front of her. She talked to my mum like, oh, why is he not in uniform? And my mum explained the reason that I just told you. And then she'd be like, oh, we don't do no special treatment here. And my mum was like, what? And luckily enough, my support assistant walked behind her as she said that. And thank God me and my mum didn't say anything, because I wanted to at that
point. Of course, yeah.
But my TA went to the head teacher after that, because she was like, it's totally understandable why is she talking to you and your mum like that? Like, we didn't talk like that, but she explained why she went to the head teacher, and I got it, and I'm so glad that someone saw that. Even in PE, I remember going to go in PE like everyone else, and honestly, I promise you, Emily, the teacher went to my TA, should take him away. You know what they do with their hands when they brush people off? Yeah, he was doing that to my support assistant. He was like, take him away. He's not doing PE with us. I think they were doing football out on the field. But in primary school, they used to get me involved in everything.
Of course, as you should be. Like, as you should be. Like, sorry, go on.
Go on, sorry.
No, do you mind if I jump in and just talk about something? I'm really like fascinated to hear your experiences, and like I hope you don't mind me describing it like this, but it's almost like heartbreaking to hear that you went through these things, because there's this concept called, do you know the concept of neurodiversity?
I've heard of it, but I'm not really educated on it.
Would you be okay for me to kind of talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, of course.
Is that okay? So it really relates to that story around just being excluded from football.
Yeah.
In the past, and to some extent a little bit now, you know, we thought about disability as sort of the problem is with the person with the disability, and so therefore, like, they need to be excluded or they need to, you know, change. And thankfully, more and more now, and slowly, people are realizing, and this is kind of the concept of neurodiversity, is that everyone deserves to be included.
Yeah.
In everything.
Yeah.
And actually, it's not that disability is only a problem if the environment around the person doesn't meet the needs.
Yeah.
The problem isn't the person, it's the environment around them.
And the people that wonder where people grow up feeling like they're not included or they're not good enough, what's wrong with me, that type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, like, for me, I got angry and stuff, but I've never felt like I'm not good enough, luckily enough, but I know people that have.
Yeah.
And it does, you take a big hit from that.
Yeah. You said earlier, like, it moulds you. You said, like, the experiences you have, like, mould you as a person.
100%. You're a teacher as well. You should not be doing that. No way. Like, I think he only done it as well because he didn't think that no one else was about and they
really? Would
it. Yeah, like, honestly, I really do.
Mm.
There was a few people, even able-bodied people, that was wary of this teacher, but I'm so glad my TA was there as well to see it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Good. Yeah. This is what I'm doing this for as well.
Yeah, this is why it's important.
When you're in school, I feel like when you've got a disability or things like that, you get overlooked and you don't get heard. You don't get to try and not make people understand, but you don't get the opportunity to do so. You get what I'm saying? So,
yeah, 100. I mean, it's really, really powerful listening to you, Josh. Really.
I don't want kids to grow up like that. I don't want it anymore. It shouldn't be like that.
No.
You've got so many situations now that people are accepting of, that everything is not okay, but it's getting there. So why can't it be okay for, I don't know, like, I got thrown in the gym when I was secondary school. Not thrown in the gym, but put in the gym. With, like, I love this teacher. She was called Miss Goodwin. She's no longer with us anymore. She died recently, unfortunately.
Oh my goodness.
But
okay.
Me and my support assistant used to sit in this gym with her and do weights. And she was like, in her late 60s at the time.
Okay.
So it's crazy. she used to do weights with me. Like, you know the weights with two sides and a big bar.
Mm-hmm.
He used to put that across my armrest,
mm-hmm,
and help me lift that up to make me feel like I was doing something. And it did help because it built up my upper body strength.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it helps with your mental health as well, I think. So that was good.
How did it help with your mental health? How did it help you?
I mean, because of the anger and stuff, like, not being involved and that, working out does anyway. It don't matter what you can do or what you can't do. The littlest of things that you do to work out or stretch or whatever. I was talking to one of my friends about it yesterday, actually. He was saying you can just sit up a little bit, Josh. Like, move your neck up. And, you know, like, you go into, I'm actually doing it now, like a donut. But when you take that And when you're laying down and you're trying to do sit-ups, yeah, even if you do it to the bit that you can do, Josh, you're still doing a workout. Yeah. And you're right, like, there's no limits to what you can do, really. None.
No. Yeah, I know, it's one of your questions was around, like, what advice, if I could give out advice to, like families and young people with disability, all different kinds of disability. I was obviously thinking about this. I wasn't like what kind of, because everything, you know, everything I do is very like unique and tailored to each person.
Yeah.
But I suppose if I were to be able to give more generic advice, it would be like, don't be afraid to be pushy and bossy and demanding, and kind of try and it's the hardest thing to do is to ask for support, and to like be brave to ask for that support and sort of like trust that you really deserve the support and deserve to be seen and deserve to be heard and live the life you want, but and also know that you don't have to apologize.
Yeah.
For that, and for asking, you know, and you know, from my perspective, I see loads and loads and loads of young people and loads of families, and you know, you are not alone. I've met with like young people and families that literally live on the same street and are dealing with the same problems. You know, it's that kind of level of like, you are not alone.
Yeah.
So exactly what you're saying, like, be brave to advocate for yourself.
Yeah, you've got to.
We'll see. Yeah.
You've got to put your foot down, otherwise you're just going to get in a battle with yourself and bring yourself down. I've found that out recently.
Have you?
My wheelchair kept breaking, and we kept bringing people out to fix it. Mm-hmm. I'm out, we're going, and it'd be okay for the first hour or two, but obviously when you're sitting down all the time, your body gets tired and you start leaning. Mum's called them so many times, and I hated it because I didn't want to be like constantly getting them to come out and stuff. And
what are you worried about?
Like being an I know it's their job, but I was worried about being annoying, if that makes sense. It's really,
yeah.
I know, but
yeah, no, I'm hearing you.
Yeah, I was worried about being annoying and frustrating. Oh, it's him again, he needs a wheelchair fixing again, we done it a few months ago, you know, that type of thing. But if you need it done, that's the whole point, you get it done. Otherwise, what's the point in sitting there or standing there or whatever situation you're in, when you can get sorted for 2 hours and then you feel a lot better?
Yeah, you deserve that. And I think that's what I was saying about that, identifying what that specific barrier is, you know. Yeah. What is it that's specifically like, let's hone in on exactly what the barrier is. And then let's really, really fix that problem. Instead of giving loads and loads of solutions that aren't really going to fix it, you know? Like, what is the exact, you know, and let's figure that out, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it really does. It really helps. Like, recently I've been starting to think like that. And obviously, when you're sitting there and you're watching stuff or you're hearing stuff, you take it in subconsciously anyway.
Yeah. But
I'm really interested in all this, and I just want to help people. Like I said, it helps me as well, but more importantly, I want to help people. And I know it sounds like I talk about myself a lot, but a lot of people are in a similar situation or the same situation as me, and I want to let them know that it's gonna be okay, that just focus on one day at a time. there will be people that understand and hear you and want to help you and don't make it a big deal or, you know, don't push you away. Like, you can be really intelligent.
Yeah.
But if no one gives you the opportunity to show that, of course they're going to think you're... I'm going to use the word I've heard a lot over the past few years. Backwards or... I hate words like that. Because you might say it, but someone could be really intelligent if you give them the time and chance that... Something interests them. They're gonna want to talk about it for hours, or your perspective could change on that person so much for the reason.
Go on.
It's crazy that no one gives people do give people with disabilities a chance. That's silly of me, but you know what I mean.
Showing. What you can really do.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and that's exactly what, I mean, going back to my job, like, that's exactly what I hope to be doing and giving, and like what you're doing as well, giving other people a platform to talk about these things that are so important.
I've got so many other questions.
I was just looking at our questions and I'm like, oh, we've literally, you know, we've been chatting about like just one, like for however long, for just one question. It's because your questions, Josh, they're really good questions.
It's quite insightful as well, isn't it?
It's really good.
And I think it cuts off at 1 hour as well. So.
Okay, so we've got 4 minutes, three minutes. So,
I'm gonna ask another one. If you can fit that in, then good. If you can't, then it's
amazing. I'll fit it in.
Okay. If there is another thing you can do, oh no, wait, one sec. Sorry. Do you come away from work each day with a smile on your face, knowing that you've had a positive impact on a family? I think that's a good way to end it.
Yeah. I absolutely love my job.
Yeah.
And I think it's meeting the children, meeting the young people, meeting the young adults, and just seeing how incredibly resilient and incredible they are. And that's the thing that really makes me smile. So yes, I'm very, very lucky. If anyone else feels interested in becoming an educational psychologist, you know, go for it. It's a really...
I like that. I really do.
Thank you so much, Josh. This has been amazing.
Honestly, you are going to help so many people that listen to this, honestly. So thank you so much for being on here. I know it was a bit of a nerve-wracking start for me, but...
No, you couldn't tell at all. It was great.
The start, you come in straight away.
It's been really great.
Thank you, and you do an amazing job.
Thank you, Josh, you're amazing.
It sounds so complex, and I want to say thank you to everyone for what you guys do, because it really does help, and honestly, thank you so much for coming on it. I can tell that you love your job as well.
Thanks so much. And I hope it's been helpful and interesting for everyone listening. And thank you, Josh, for creating this podcast, and especially creating one that is so authentic. And hopefully people listening will get something from it.
Thank you. Thanks again. I'll see you later.
See you soon, Josh. Bye.
Bye.